But I'd like you to just take a trip into your imagination for a minute. And I want you to imagine that you're drawing names like that, and you draw the name of somebody, some family member, that you're hoping not to draw. Oh, for crying out loud, I got to buy a gift for that one. Okay, think about this for just a minute. This person has treated you badly. They've been mean to you. They didn't like the chili that you made. So you're going to make it again, come to the chili cook-off this year. Maybe this person has spread lies or rumors about you. Maybe they stole something of yours, or maybe you loaned them something and they never returned it. You know that they're not good to you. Then you drew their name. Maybe that's the kind of person that you would hope to find a white elephant gift to give to. But imagine for a second that there's a new rule introduced in the name drawing this year, and the person whose name you draw gets to ask you for anything they want that belongs to you. Okay? For example, you've got a prize Reggie Jackson autographed baseball, and the person whose name you drew asks you for that Reggie Jackson signed baseball. I've got a Robinson Cano signed baseball on my desk of my office. Maybe it's some prized possession. Maybe it's your car, your horse, or your dog, or heaven forbid, your cat. Don't let that happen. Maybe it's some kind of precious heirloom that's been passed down to you through the generations, and the rule is that if a person asks you for it, you have to give it to them. What would you do? Well, you better love that person a lot, right? But remember, the person drawing your name, or person whose name you drew, is somebody that doesn't like you. And they get to ask you for something very deep and very personal. Well, God does not give white elephant gifts. God's gifts are always good. And as we're going through the message this morning, I want us to keep some things in mind. The first thing I want to do is turn to John chapter 3, if you would please. Open your Bibles to John chapter 3. You can probably guess what verses we're going to be using. That's verses 16 and 17. John 3:16. Everybody got it? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Christmas is a celebration of God giving. God gave us his Son. Yeah, we like to talk about how Jesus was born in a manger and we set up our manger scenes with or without the three wise men, from what I've heard this week. And people have said they have not put the wise men up with them. Probably because of last week's message, and glad somebody's listening, but you can still put the wise men up there. It's okay. Just explain to people that one didn't really happen that way. But what does God give? God gives. And one of the first things that he gives to any child is what we find in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God gives eternal life. What a gift that is. God gives. And what he gives, first and foremost, is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a lot of people out there shopping this year. Yesterday, wife and kids and I drove down to Hackman's, and we went by the Lehigh Valley Mall, and ladies and gentlemen, there was not a parking space anywhere in the parking lot that we saw. I mean, we're talking front door of the store all the way out from the driveway, not a single parking space. You know what I'm thinking? Two things. Number one, looks like the economy is doing okay. And number two, there's a lot of people there buying gifts that are not going to change the life they're trying to buy for, like they think it will. There's only one thing that will truly change somebody's life. You know what that is? An eternity. It is safe in the hands of God. God gives eternal life. Amen? The second thing He gives us is peace. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Peace. Is there anything this world needs more than peace? God gives it. But the thing that He delivers first, when you accept Christ, He makes peace between you and Him. That's the big thing. To have peace with God is an amazing thing. Because there's all kinds of people out there in the world that don't have peace with God. Oh yeah, they like to sing, you know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and all that kind of thing. But truthfully speaking, do you have peace with God? You have to ask yourself that question. Am I worried about my eternity? If you are worried about your eternity, God wants to give you eternal life, and when you receive that, you'll have peace. Because you'll know that no matter what comes into your life or what goes out of your life, your eternity is secure in the hands of God. What did I just say? Did I just say that if you accept Christ, that you are secure in God's hands? That's what I just said. That's what I just said. Yeah, but what if I sin? What if I make God mad at me? Will He kick me out of heaven? No. He might chasten you, like it says in the book of Hebrews, just like you do to your children, or used to do to your children, depending on how old your kids are. Didn't you chasten them in order to get them back on the right path? Hebrews says, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. What does that mean? It means if God chastens you, it's all good. Because He's trying to get you back where you need to be. God gives grace. He gives eternal life, He gives peace, and He gives grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved, and not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. Did you come to Christ? Have you ever prayed to receive Jesus? It's because God touched you with His grace, and He pulled you in. He said, come to me, child. Come to me. And when you did, it's because of God's grace that drew you. It's a theological term that we refer to as prevenient grace. Prevenient grace means that God gives you the grace that you need to receive His Son Jesus. Okay? So in other words, when you're saved, how does it happen? God puts His finger on you. No man comes to the Father except by the Holy Spirit, correct? And the Holy Spirit draws you in. You receive Christ. He is the beginner of your salvation. He is the effecter of your salvation. And He is the finisher of it. What He begins, He will finish. And it's all done by grace. He gives wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him come and ask of God, and God will give it to him liberally. That doesn't mean He'll make you liberal. We put up our Christmas tree this year, and my wife says, is this straight? I said, no, it's leaning a little bit to the right, but that's okay. I mean, just conservative. It leans to the right. He will give to you generously. Without finding fault, it will be given to him. That's wisdom that God promises you. You need wisdom? You've got the right pipeline, folks. Go and pray to God. Turn on the faucet, and the wisdom pours out on you. He also gives daily provision for your needs. Matthew said it in chapter 6. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek God and His kingdom first. You don't need the stress in your life that the pagans worry over. You don't need the stress in your life that those who don't know God are worrying through and stressing themselves out over and heading to the pharmacy to get the mood-changing drugs and all that kind of stuff. If you place your hope and your faith and your trust in Jesus, He will provide for your needs. Do you believe me? How many of you are saying amen because it's the right thing to say because you're seated around all these other Christians? If you honestly believe it, then stop worrying about it. Hear what I just said? God's gifts are good. Every good and perfect gift. I hear Don praying this. He prays this regularly. Every good and perfect gift comes from you, the maker of the heavenly rights. God gives good gifts. You believe me? How many of you have ever met somebody who's gifting challenged? They're the ones who are always giving you the weird gifts. You know what I'm talking about? The leg lampstands? The strange stuff? Just in case you want to get even with your favorite bad gift giver, I am going to offer you revenge today. Lynn has got some pictures she's going to show us, and we're going to go through some of these things, some really, really bad gift ideas that you can give to your favorite really bad gift giver. Okay? Let's take a look at some of them. What's this? Bad gift ideas. Number one, how about a Barack Obama chia pet? Honest to goodness, they're selling these things. A Barack Obama chia pet. I understand chia seeds are good for you. How about a stuffed bed bug toy? You got somebody that you really dislike? Get them a pet bed bug. They're out there. I've seen them for sale. They're online. You can buy yourself a pet bed bug. Just what you need, right? Next. There you go. Nothing. Nothing says you care like some spray-on hair. That's absolutely true. And what it is, you go to the bald spot you've got on your head, and you have somebody spray that on, and you can actually buy this stuff in the colors of your hair. So it comes in different colors to hide those bald spots. What's that? It washes out. Yes, it does. Now, for all of you who are bugged to death by those noisy computer keyboards, how about a keyboard silencer? It actually is a pad, and you put it over the keyboard. You slip your hands under it, and it's got a clear window on the top so you can see your fingers. And as you type it, that's legitimate. It's a legitimate. I try to keep this clean because there's some that wasn't very clean. Next slide. My favorite. The winner is. My favorite bad gift this year is a nose hair trimmer for men in the shape of a human finger. Honey, can I have one of those for Christmas? I want to give one. I want to give it away to the next white Christmas party. White elephant Christmas party. What do you think? There you go. You know somebody who gives bad gifts? There's your list of ways to get even. That yes. No, not really. Yeah, I know. Nothing says you care like some spray-on hair. Why does God give us the good gifts that He gives? What's His motivation for it? I think that's probably a good question this morning. Why does He do it? Well, it's kind of ironic, I think, at a time when we are in more of a giving mood, we often find ourselves in the dilemma of giving the right thing to the right person. You know what I'm saying? My wife said to me this morning as we're getting ready for church, she said, I got you a couple things for Christmas, but I don't really know what to give you. Yeah? Ever get stuck like that? I want to give somebody a gift, but I'm not sure what to give them?
No.
Yes. I want the nose hair trimmer. That's what I want. I want the nose hair trimmer. Do you realize that God does not have to give us gifts? You don't deserve them. None of us deserve them, right? If you deserve it, then what is it? It's a wage. If you've earned the gift or if you've earned the thing, it's not a gift. It's a wage. It's something He gives you because you deserve it, because you've earned it. You know? Kind of like the boss paying you finally after you've waited for your paycheck. A real gift is something given out of a desire to bless the person. And it's something that costs you. If you give a gift and it costs you nothing, it's not much of a gift. That means nothing to you, and it'll probably mean nothing to the person you're giving it to. Did you know the Bible contains roughly 330 statements about blessing? Okay, that's roughly 5 per book of the Bible. Right? Those of you that are mental math geniuses are now thinking, is that really true? Let's see, 66 times 5, my goodness, that is 330. Did you know that of those 330 comments about blessing, 300 plus of them are about God? That is God blessing people. That's a wonderful thing to know. Because we have to ask ourselves the question, when God blesses, what is His motivation for doing it? Well, the bottom line is found right here in John 3:16. Because it says, for God so loved that He gave. What was God's motivation for giving us Jesus? Somebody say that. Good. What is His motivation for giving you anything good? Love. It's love. You ever hear the old saying, somebody up there loves you? Guess what? I'm here to declare, within the hearing of all you good people, somebody up there loves you. You believe me? How many of you would say, well, I wish you'd love me a little bit more because things are kind of rough right now? Well, guess what? Your circumstances are not a good barometer for determining how much God loves you. Hear what I just said? Do not ever look at your circumstances and say, well, it must be that God really loves me because things are going good. And then if things go bad, say, well, God must not really love me much because things are going bad. It doesn't work that way. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations. In other words, in this world you are going to be tried. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through temptations. You're going to go through high times. You're going to go through low times. You're going to have peaks. You're going to have valleys. James said it. Take it all for joy, folks, when you endure trials of many kinds. When James says that, when you endure trials of many kinds, it actually comes from a Greek term that we get the term polka dot from. What are polka dots? How big are they? Big, small, fat, skinny? What color are polka dots? Maybe any color, right? So they can come in all sizes and all colors. And James says, take it all as pure joy. Because the end result of those things is your blessing. This is true. Why do we give gifts to our families at Christmas? Is it because we want to impress them with our affluence? Do we really think that that Xbox 15 is going to change our kids' lives? Oh, heck, you can go out and buy one. They're only like $17 gazillion. Yeah, that's good. Let the kids sit in front of the TV all day. The bottom line is that our desire to give gifts comes from the fact that we love to see the look on people's faces and the joy it gives to their hearts when we give them something good. And it breaks our hearts when we give a gift to somebody and their face doesn't light up, but it falls. Because we feel rejected. If the gift is rejected, we feel rejected. Where do you think that comes from? Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you this. When God offers us the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, and somebody receives Him, what happens? 10,000 angels in the heavenly places rejoice. What does it do to the heart of God when people refuse Him and reject Him? Jesus said that even evil fathers know how to give good gifts to the children. How much more does our Father in heaven know how to give us good gifts? He does that because that's what He does. And we're not talking about making promises for material wealth. Okay? We're not talking about, oh God, please give me a pink Cadillac. Oh God, please give me these kinds of riches. God knows what we need. And He will supply our needs according to His riches and glory. and all we need to do is give. Yes, we need to tithe. We need to give offerings. We need to tithe. But what about giving gifts to people that we love? We do that because we love them. When God gives you gifts, why does He do it? Because He loves you. Is that simple? That's a simple truth. So how do we apply this? How can we take this and apply this? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through Him. How do we apply that to our life? Very simple. Number one, receive God's gift for ourselves. There's a lot of people out there, ladies and gents, that are going to be going to churches, you know, like they do every year regularly, Christmas and Easter, they're there in church. And they will go through another worship service, and they'll go through the motions like they do every Sunday. And they will not receive Jesus because they feel they've done their thing for God by going. Did you know that it's very possible to sit in a church and not be a Christian? It's very possible to sit in a church and never receive Christ. One of the most shocking moments in my whole ministry came some years ago when I preached in a church and I gave a salvation message to a group of people that had been attending that church for 17 plus years. The altar was full at the end of the service. And they said, "We've never heard that before. Would you explain to me how somebody can serve as members of the board of deacons and trustees for 17 years and never hear the gospel?" I smiled and I prayed with them and I left in tears. Because my heart broke. I'm thinking, how can people come to a church for dozens of years and never hear about Jesus? Folks, people need to hear about Jesus and they need to receive Jesus. Amen? Maybe, just maybe, there was somebody here this morning that would say, "I never received Him." I'm here to challenge you today. Receive Him. Because God gave Him. Because He loves you. Receive God's gift of love. There's a couple things about gifts that we need to understand. Number one, you can't earn a gift. I already made mention of this. Why can't you earn a gift? Because if you earn it, it's a wage. It's not a gift. Okay? Number two, gifts are not automatic. Just because somebody offers you a gift doesn't mean you have received the gift. You've got to receive it first. For a gift to really matter to the person it's intended for, it's got to be received. Jan Croco likes my pens. She always says I've got cool pens, so they write well. All you have to do is keep your eyes open at enough yard sales, and you can find some. This one here is a Shaper. And it writes pretty good, and it writes in blue. So that's good for me, because I love blue. Say I was to say to you, "I would love to give you this pen," which I wouldn't. But let's say I was to say to Don Mack over here, "Don, well, better yet, Jan, because Jan likes my pen. Jan, would you like my pen?" And she'd say yes. What if I put the pen back in my pocket because she never came to get it? How does this pen become hers? If I offer it, how does it become hers? She has to come and take it from my hand. Or in this case, my cold, dead fingers. I never did that. She has to receive it for herself, yes? Isn't that how a gift is given? I offer it, you receive it. God offers Jesus. How do you receive Him? You take Him for yourself. Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor Jack. My mom and dad were Christians. They always took me to church. I just always grew up knowing about God. So I feel like I've known Jesus all my life. Really? Congratulations. Have you ever come to the point in your life where you recognize the fact that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God and need to have your sins forgiven? If so, Jesus is there and He's willing to give His life for you so that your sins can be washed away by His blood. Have you ever done that? I challenged a secretary of mine like that, and it wasn't that one. Didn't like it. Because she didn't like having the fact that she may not be a Christian made known to her. It's very possible to be very religious and never receive the gift. You get it? Am I making myself clear? In order to get the gift, you've got to accept it, you've got to take it. And there are people in churches all over this country that haven't done that. Ephesians 2, it is by grace you have been saved and not of works. It is a gift of God so no one can boast. Romans chapter 6, all our works are filthy rags. We can't work our way in. The only way we can find the gift of eternal life is when God offers it to you to receive it and accept it and receive Christ. That has to be done. And so what should you do then? Well, part number two and how to apply this. Number one is receive the gift for yourself. What do you think part two is? Offer it to other people. That's simple. When you get the gift, give it away. You can give it away and not lose it. That's the wonderful thing about it. You can give Jesus to people and still keep Jesus for yourself. If I give Jan this pen, I'll never see it again. But if I give Jan Jesus, she can have Jesus, and I can keep him too. That's the wonderful thing about this. And I'm going to keep my pen. I'm going right back in my pocket. Why would I spend talking about the way God gives gifts? No, it's not just because it's Christmas time. Because God's gifting isn't limited to Christmas time. This gift that God gives us is something that we can receive, doesn't matter what time of year. It's something we can give away, doesn't matter the time of year. Isn't that a beautiful thing? It's a beautiful thing. I believe that we should imitate the gift-giving of God. We need to be imitators of Christ. Imitators of Paul, as he said, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. Give different kinds of gifts. We give good gifts. We may give as generously as we can, but let all of our giving be motivated by love, and let our love motivate us to share Jesus with people. Does that make sense to you? You may not be able to afford fancy gifts this year. We're not going to be able to. We had too many medical bills, and so we don't have much we can offer each other for Christmas this year. But there's one thing that we can offer. We can offer people Jesus. And he'll get you further than any Xbox, whatever number it is now. I want you to think back. For I asked you to remember the individual that you don't like who comes and asks you for something very dear to your heart. Remember that? I was giving you that story for a reason. How would you react if that person whose name you had drawn actually came to you and said, I've got nothing to offer you, but I want that thing that you are close to your heart? Hold on to your hat, folks. Who do you think that person is? That person who has never done anything good for you and comes and asks you for the thing that's closest to your heart. Who is that person? It's you. It's all of us. Because God has a precious gift that he keeps very close to his heart. Who is that? And who are the people that need him? The sinners. And who's a sinner? Who isn't? I think that might be a better question. Who isn't a sinner? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, probably Jimmy and probably Pastor Jay. Well, I got good news for you. Neither one of us fit that bill either. We both sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Folks, we have turned our backs on God. we have lied to him, we have cheated him, we've stolen from him, and he says, that's okay, I'm giving you Jesus. Will you accept Christ? Because I love you that much. There's a guy named Eli, he's a singer. I don't know if you've ever heard of Eli. And he sings a song called Unqualified. And the lyrics go something like this. I have stolen, cheated, I have lied. I am prideful and unqualified. But I'm broken when I realize it's your grace that covers me. Are you covered by the grace of God? You know Jesus as your Savior. That's the question. I would venture that there's probably nobody in here that's never broken a commandment of God any time in their life. And the Word tells us very clearly that if you break one, you've broken how many? How many of us have a right to come to God? How many of us could say, if I come to God, it's a gift of grace? Folks, if you have Jesus, you have a right to come to God. Because you are a joint heir with His Son, Jesus. That's a beautiful thing. Why am I telling you this? Well, because there are people that you will meet this Christmas time. There may be people that you gather with in your family gatherings or in your Christmas parties that are celebrating Christmas and don't know why. Would you give the gift of eternal life to somebody? All it takes is this. This is what my life was like before I knew Jesus. This is how I came to know Jesus. And this is how God has blessed me since. And you'll change the world. You hear what I just said? You will change the world if you're willing to do that. Maybe just one soul at a time, but that's okay. Two applications. Receive Jesus for myself, and then give them away. Okay? Well, once I receive Jesus, how long should I wait? I mean, I'm not a theological master here. I haven't taken theology courses. So how long should I wait before I give them away? I'm going to give you an exact time. Okay? Are you ready? 5 minutes. You receive Jesus, as soon as your heart returns to the normal beating rhythm, share Jesus with somebody else. Can you do that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the unmatchable gift that is Jesus. Father, thank you for the gift of Christ because it's He that has saved us, not we ourselves. Jesus is your gift given to us. Father, we see so many people out there in the world and they're just floundering around. They don't know the meaning of their lives. They don't know where they're going for eternity. God, give us now to speak about this love that you have for us and this gift of love who is Jesus. Father, I look out over the congregation this morning and I don't see anybody here that wouldn't need to accept Him, at least in my thinking. But Lord, you know the hearts of every man and every woman in here. Lord, if there is one who needs to come to you and receive Christ as their Savior, I pray that you speak to their heart right now. If the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, I don't want you looking around. Please, nobody look. Keep your eyes bowed and your eyes closed. If the Lord has spoken to your heart and you know that you need to receive the gift of eternal life, accept Jesus, this Christmas, as your Savior, would you raise your hand? The Lord has spoken to your heart and you need to accept Christ. Yes, God bless you. I see that. Thank you. You can lower your hand. Anybody else? Now is the time. Anybody else? Father, you've seen that hand that went up today. And I pray, dear God, that you would fill that person with the knowledge and the assurance of a Savior named Jesus. If you raise your hand, pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I have sinned. and I know that I need to be saved. So I open my heart right now, and I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Savior today. Wash me clean. Forgive me of my sins, and help me to walk in a way that pleases my Father in heaven. Jesus, come into my heart today, but not just for today, forever. And thank you for the gift of eternal life that comes in knowing you, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer, you've received Christ. Father, thank you for those who received Christ this Christmas season. Pray, Lord, that you would help us not to just receive that gift, but to broadcast it. There are people out there that need to know. Father, give us words. Give us mouths to speak the glory of Jesus. For in Jesus' name we pray.